Okay, today's daf is Baba Basra Daf Mem. Today's shir is sponsored by Avi and Rachi Langer, Lezecher Nishmas, Rav Nechemya Chaim ben Rav Moshe Yonah Zatzal, Avi's grandfather, whose yahrzeit is today. He was also my first grade Rebbe, Rabbi Ritterman, and I certainly have a tremendous amount of hakaras hatov to him. The neshama should have an aliyah through the zuchus of our learning today, and we thank Avi and Ruchi very much for the sponsorship. We're holding at the very bottom of Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara is going to go through a number of different types of statements that a person can make, and how many people these statements need to be made in front of, and whether Edim need to be instructed to write it down, or they could just write it down on their own. They can make a shtar out of it on their own. And what it's largely going to depend on is if it's Litovas, the person who's saying it. Meaning, is this something that could come back to hurt him, or is this something that's going to help him only? So if it's something that's going to help him only, they can certainly write it down. If it's something that's going to come back to hurt him, so then they need explicit permission from the person who's making the statement to make a shtar out of it. So we're going to talk about a macha'a, a hoda'a, a moda'a, a kinyan, a kiyum shtaros, how many people it needs to be said in front of, and not just how many people, but also whether they can write it down. Then the Gemara is going to get into, continuing on the building off of the discussion of a moda'a, of who you can write a moda'a against. What a moda'a is you do a transaction, but prior to the transaction, you pull some people aside and you say, I'm being forced into this, I'm not interested in this transaction, this is not a valid transaction, I'm only doing this because I have no choice. So can you write a moda'a against just anybody? What if you have people who are tzaddikei ador, and the chances are they're not forcing anyone into a transaction? You could just, and if they are, you can bring them to Beis Din, and they'll have to deal with the Beis Din, will deal with them. So can you just write a moda'a against anybody? Also, how do you write a moda'a? How specific does it have to be? And I mean, do the Edim have to know exactly what the situation is, in what way they're forcing him, what the taina is, and also what kinds of transactions can have a moda'a written on them? Is it any transaction, any matana, any mechira? What exactly, what kinds of transactions are eligible for moda'a? And then on Amud Beis, we're going to discuss not a moda'a, but we're going to discuss what happens with a matanta tamirta. Matanta tamirta is you have a shtar matana written in secret. So how suspicious are we of a shtar matana that for some reason had to be written in secret? Is it completely invalid? Is it somewhat valid for some halachos and not for others? So that's the notion of a matanta tamirta. So let's begin. We are at the bottom of Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, the last line. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman, Macha'a b'fnei shnayim, vein tzarich lomar ksavu. That a macha'a has to be done in front of two people, and the people who heard the macha, you don't need to tell them to write it down. They have the right, they have every right to write it down, and they should write it down, even without being instructed to do so. Rashbam explains on the bottom of the page, Al-Kosum lo edim shtar macha lema'ar lios biyadu le'edus shemicha betoch gimel. They write a shtar macha for the ma'arer so that he now has proof that he made a macha within 3 years, so that the person who's living in this property will not develop a chazaka. The alfpi shalot tziva osam, even though he never told them, I want you to write it down, they do it anyway. This is only beneficial to the ma'arer to have written proof that he in fact was ma'arer, since it's only beneficial to him. This is part of the notion of zachal adam shalobafanav. He's going to benefit from this. You're allowed to do something that someone could benefit from even without his consent. So that's why you're allowed to they're allowed to write it down. The rishonim have machlokas over here when the machzik is moda in the macha'a. Does it work without shnayim? Meaning, what if you only had one person that saw the macha'a, but the machzik knows that a macha'a was made? The machzik says, look, I still claim that I bought this land, that I've been living here for 3 years. I heard he said in front of somebody that he wasn't happy about it. So the Rosh and the Ritva write that a macha'a has to be done b'fnei shnayim. The only reason a macha'a has to be done b'fnei shnayim, rather, is so that the machzik can't deny the macha'a. But if he's moda that he knows that there was a macha'a, then that macha'a works even if it's not in front of any edim. However, the Rashba in the Tshuva disagrees. He says even if it's done b'fnei ha-machzik, it's done right in front of the machzik, it doesn't help in Eidech, it's not going to help because the machzik could say that he thought that this macha'a was a joke, that it wasn't being taken seriously. That if you want to do a real macha'a and you want to take it seriously, you got to do it b'fnei shnei edim. This guy obviously wasn't taking his macha'a seriously enough. So that is the machlokas rishonim. There is a further machlokas rishonim. If you do macha in front of two people, does it work dafka if you do it in front of the two people together, like regular edus? Or maybe, no, you do macha in front of one person, then you do it in front of a second person separately, whether that works. The Rashba in the Tshuva says macha doesn't work if the edim are not together, because the macha has a din edus that the macha has to be misparsem and to get to the ears of the machzik so that he could know about it. And when you're mocha b'fnei achar and then mocha b'fnei achar separately, it's not as much of an event, it's not as much of a gilui milsa. So says Rashba, even if bedin edus, it would be a valid edus that this in fact happened, because you have two edim that testify that he made a macha'a, but in terms of what a macha'a is supposed to accomplish, it's not good enough. A macha'a is supposed to make sure that it creates a little bit of a tumult. It's hard to create a tumult when you're only talking to one person. The Ran and the Muke Yosef quote in the name of the Ra'ah that even when you're mocha b'fnei shnayim b'zeacharzeh, that it does work. And just like we find that by Hoda'ah in Masech Sanhedrin, so it works in terms of macha'a as well. So that is a further machlokas rishonim, that yes, it has to be b'fnei shnayim, but does it have to be b'fnei shnayim that are right next to each other at the same time, or could it be one after the other, separate from each other? The shach is machriya lahalacha, like the shita of the Ra'ah, that it does not have to be that they're together. The Tumim explains that the Machlokas Rashba and Ra'ah is totally in the Shaila of why is does a Macha in front of one aid not work. According to the Ra'ah, the Svari is that when you make a Macha in front of one aid, the Machzik could deny that it ever happened and say that I never heard of such a Macha. So when there are two aid, the Mezeh HaChazeh, he can no longer be Kofar. He can't deny that it happened because we have Eidos that it happened, so it's going to work. But the Rashba understands that the reason Macha b'fnei Echad doesn't work is because the machzik thinks that the mocha is not being serious, that it's a chuchu v'tlula, that he's not taking the whole thing seriously. So he wasn't mocha b'fnei shnayim, and that's why he wasn't mocha b'fnei shnayim. So when you do b'fnei shnei b'nei adam b'zeh achazeh, the macha is not going to work because you're not doing it in a serious way. It has to be done in a serious way by making an event out of the macha. So it turns out that these two machlokos are machlokos l'shitasam. The first machlokas, whether it works without shnayim, and the second machlokas, whether it works when it's shnayim but b'zeh achazeh, are totally on each other, because it's all about whether the point of doing it in front of other people is to verify that it was done, or it's more than that, it's to show that you're doing it seriously, that you're doing it in a way that means something to you, that's in fact effective to you. The Tosos raises another question over here. Why does it work to write down the Macha'a? That writing down of the Macha'a, L'chora, doesn't have a status of a shtar. A shtar always needs a das ha-mischayiv. If I'm going to sell something to you, you can't write a shtar, the shtar mechira, unless you have the das of the person who's doing the selling, the person who stands to lose from the writing of the shtar. So a shtar halva'a, you need the das of the lova in order to write a shtar of the halva'a. By macha'a, the machzik in the karka, the one who's living in the karka right now, is trying to develop chazaka, he's the mischayev, and he certainly never said to write the shtar macha'a. So, and if it doesn't have a tokef of a shtar, so then it can't be accepted as edus. Because the pasuk al pishnayim made them chazal darshan git mi pihem velo mi piksavam. That you can't just say, oh, it's edus, it's just written edus instead of oral edus. No, there's no such thing as written edus, unless it has the status of a shtar. There's a chiddush din called the shtar, but that's not just written edus. Written edus doesn't exist. Mi pihem velo mi piksavam. So this is Tosfos Kasha. What is the value of a written macha'a if you can't have edus piksav? So Tosfos suggests that, and it can't be a shtar because you don't have the dasa mischayiv. So Tosfos suggests that this is a special takanas chachamim, that ksivas hamacha'a piksav is considered edus to be mevatal chazaka, because it doesn't take that much to be mevatal a a chazaka. So that's a special takaras chazal. It doesn't seem to fit any of the existing rules that we know of in terms of writing a shtar, in terms of edus b'ksav. It doesn't seem to fit any of these rules. But nevertheless, it's going to be effective mi takaras chacham. So that is that's how Tosos handles it. Now there are a lot of different deos in Rishonim why a shtar works when normally you need me PM velomi piksavam. So why does a shtar ever work? Rashi and the Baal Amor explain that since every shtar was not written midas shel midaitam shel eidim, it was written midaito of the person who's mischayev in the shtar. It's not really piksavam shel eidim. It's mi piksava shel mischayev. It's as if since it has to be done midas mischayev, it's ki'ilu he's the one writing it. So that is not called edus. That's the mischayev talking about his own transaction. The Rif and the Ramban in Maseches Ksubos, the Rif and Yevamos, Ramban and Maseches Ksubos say that a shtar is written in a special nusach that a shtar has to be written in, and a shtar, there's a chiddush that edim chsum al shtar nasach min shtachar edus and bebezdin, and therefore you don't need the shtar to have dine edus because it's ki'ilu there already was edus, so we don't care that it's mipik savam. The Rambam understands that every edus per shtar is only midirabanan. Minatori, you're right, a shtar doesn't work because of mipiyam velo mipik savam. So shtar by definition only works midrabanan. Tosos over here suggests a great chiddush that the chisaron of mipik savam is only by someone who's unable to speak, by someone who's mute. But if you have a person who's able to speak, so then there's no chisaron of mipik savam, because this is part of the notion of kalaroy lebila ain bila ma kevesbo shein aroy lebila bila ma kevesbo. So Tosos wants to suggest that there is no psul of mipik savam when the people who are writing writing the shtar are capable of issuing edus orally, and they're just choosing to do it in the form of a shtar. Now, clearly, the Ketos points out when Tosos asked the kasha that we were just discussing of how can these people write down the shtar? There's no what about mipiyam v'lo mipiksavim? He obviously wasn't assuming that way. He was assuming, like the Ramban, that when there's a Torah shtar, there's no psul of mipiksavim, and his whole problem was that this macha doesn't have a Torah shtar. It doesn't have the status of a shtar. But according to what Tosos actually holds, then the kasha is not a kasha to begin with. There's no problem with them writing it down. It doesn't need to have a Torah shtar. It could be edus b'chsav, and edus b'chsav works as long as the people are capable of speaking. So all of that was macha'a. When you make a macha'a, it has to be b'fnei shnayim, and you don't have to instruct them to write it down. They can write it down anyway, even without the instructions, because it serves to your benefit. Says the Gemara further, moda'a b'fnei shnayim vein tzorich lomar ksovu. When you make a moda'a is that you are about to involve yourself in a transaction, so you want to make sure that people know that you're not serious about this transaction because you're being forced into it. So in advance, you pull aside to edim and you say, listen, this transaction I'm doing, it's not real. I don't want to do it. I'm being forced into it. I don't have any das for it. So you say that in front of two people, and you don't have to tell them to write it down. They should know on their own that they should write it down. As Rashbam explains, Vein Tzorich Lomar Ksovu Shtar Moda Klala Demilsa. Anything that's beneficial for the person who's issuing the statement, the edim don't need to ask rishos, should we or should we not write it down? And also we're going to say about kinyan, all of these things are done in front of two people, and all of these things you don't have to give an instruction to write it down. So why don't we just mention all of them together? just happens to be the way this was transmitted. These halachas were transmitted. It wasn't that Rav Nachman came and gave a shir and said, okay, let me tell you what has to be done in front of how many people and whether you need to be instructed to write it down. Rav Nachman never made that the topic of a shir. He never sat down and started teaching it the way we're learning it right now. In different, when they were learning the sugya of moda, he mentioned that moda is b'fnei shnayim ein tzorich lomar ksovu. When they were learning the sugya of macha, he mentioned macha is b'fnei shnayim ein tzorich lomar ksovu. Rava, the Talmud, was able to package together all the different teachings of Rav Nachman. So yes, he put them together, but he didn't want to make them one sentence, because Rashbam doesn't say this, but probably relates to Chayev Adam Lomar B'Lashon Rabbo, that a person is always supposed to say what he heard from his Rebbe in the language that he heard it from his Rebbe. So if Rav Nachman never said it as a single unit, Rava couldn't say it as a single unit, even though he was stringing together the different statements that Rav Nachman made in different places. He had to string them together. He couldn't say them as a single unit. So that's how the Rashbam explains why they're listed separately. The idea that Ein Tzarech Lamar Ksovu, someone who is being forced to sell something, Bal Korcho, he lets two Edim know that the Mechira is against his will, and that he's being forced to do this, and the Edim write in the Shtar before the Shtar Mechira ever gets written, so that afterwards he's going to be able to be Mevata the Mechira by taking out this Moda and say, look, this predates the Mechira, and you see that I was never interested in making this happen. And the Edim can write this down without his instructions, because the Rambam writes in Hilchos Mechira Perkei Halach Yud Aleph that you don't need a kinyan on a macha'a or a moda'a. You just need to say it. You don't need an actual kinyan to give it any force. The Magen Mishnah writes that it's a davar pashut that you don't need a kinyan, because ba'amira b'vad, it's done. That's all. It's a statement, and that's what he passes in Hilchos Gerushin as well. Perkei Vav Halachav, that you don't need a kinyan on a ksivas moda'a nor on a shtar bitl moda'a. However, the Tshuvas HaRashba quotes from a Rav Barzaloni that a moda'a does require a kinyan, that if a moda'a, sometimes making a kinyan just gives a certain seriousness, it lends a certain air of seriousness to what you're saying, that it's not just that you're flippantly just shooting from the hip saying something, but that you're well thought out, and therefore the moda'a, according to the Rashba b'shem Rav Barzaloni, does require a kinyan. Says Gemara further, hoda'a bifnei shnayim v'tzarech lomar ksavu. If a person is going to make a hoda'a, meaning he's going to be moda that he owes somebody money, so it's effective. It only works if he said in front of two people. And in that case, he does need to tell, those people are not authorized to write it down unless he tells them to write it down. Now, why can't they write it down without his instructions? The simple pshat, because it's something that hurts him. It's something that's not to his benefit. So they're not allowed to write down the shtar hodah. The Rishonim write, though, a lot of different hasberim why you're not allowed to write hodah without his explicit instructions. Because l'chora, if he's being moda that he actually owes the money, and he's willing to admit it, so l'chora he's okay with us writing it down. Meaning he's admitting that he owes the money. So why would he mind if there's proof to what he admits is actually true? So the Rimi Gash and the Rashba explain that you don't write it without a sivu, because we're afraid that when he pays the chov that he's moda to, he's not going to have any idea that it was that the shtar was written down. So he's not going to know to ask for the shtar back. Yeah, he may be okay with the shtar being written down, but he wants to know about it, because when he pays back the money, when you pay back a money and there's a shtar on the loan, you always ask for the shtar back. So he needs to know about it. The Rashbam explains that even though he's being moda, but it could be that he would rather it be a milval peh, where he's going to be neman se parati. And if it's written in a shtar, it's no longer a milval peh. Now it's a milval b'shtar, and he's no longer going to have neamanos to se parati. So yeah, he's moda that he owes the money, but he wants this money to remain a milval peh. Other rishonim say because the moda doesn't want that is to have a shibun lechasim to take away milakuchos shelo kedin or kedin milval b'shtar, which is really the same thing as the Rashbam, meaning why does he prefer it to be a milval peh? Because milva b'shtar has certain halachos that he's not interested in committing to. He only wants to have it as the status of a milval peh. Okay, so those are different explanations of why it is that they cannot write it down without his permission. Says the Gemara further now, kinyan bifnei shnayim vein tzarech lomar ksavu. If he does a kinyan, it has to be done in front of two people, and you don't have to say to them to write it down. They can write it down anyway. V'kim shtaros b'shlosha. And if you do a kim shtaros, that has to be done dafka in front of three people. Meaning kim shtaros requires a beis din. So says Rashbam, Ketzad yasa? How do you do kim shtaros? Holich lebeizin, maybe eidim atzman, umeidin al chasimah sedayin befnei beizdin. You go to beizdin, bring the eidim with you, they testify about their own signatures, they imkosim besof ashtar, lamata mechasimah sedayin, b'mosof tlasa kechada avina v'nafak shtar da kadamna, v'asu ploni v'asidu al chasimah sedayin v'asherinu v'kayminu k'dechazi, v'chosma gimla dayanim, v'u henpeik. That the way to be mekayim the shtar is the eidim come, they verify the signatures, beizdin writes a whole nusach at the bottom of the shtar that we saw the eidim come and we are verifying this shtar is valid, and that's why you need three, because it needs to dafka be a beizdin. If you have two people, the Gemara Sanhedrin says it's called a beizdin chatzuv. So, and over here, even b'diavad, a beizdin chatzuv is not going to work. It has to be dafka with three people. So that's those are all the halachos of how many people you have to do certain things in front of, and whether they need permission to write it down or not. Now, when we say kinyan b'fnei shnayim, vein tzarech lomar k'sovu, there's machlokes rishonim, if the eidim are needed to give tokef to the ma'isa kinyan, or maybe the kinyan is chal, even if there are no eidim, the eidim are only there to be meyid in case he ever denies it. Meaning, is it not a valid kinyan without the shnayim? I mean, sometimes you have eidos, for example, but that's eidos l'biru radavar. It's just there to verify so that we know what happened in case anyone denies it. So that's normal. That's normally what eidos is for. When I borrow $100 from you and we have eidim, the purpose of the eidim is so that we will, that you'll have proof that I borrowed $100. Either way, I actually owe you $100. Even if there are no eidim, just by the very fact that I borrowed it, I actually owe you the money, but I could always deny it unless there are eidim. I mean, if I want to lie, I could deny it. I'm not allowed to deny it, but I might. That's a typical eidos. But then you have like eidos l'kiyum adavar, like eidos kiddushin, where it's not that the eidim are there to verify that this man in fact said to this woman, Hareyat Mukadesh Slibitabaz Lukadesh Moshe Yisrael. No, we can know for sure that it happened. But without eidim, it doesn't have that same level of das, that same level of commitment that's required to make the kiddushin work. That it doesn't work without eidim. So there's a machlokas rishonim over here by the eidim of a kinyan. Is it that the kinyan is not chal without the eidim, or is the kinyan is chal? It's just that you don't have proof of it. So some of the rishonim suggest that eidim kinyan are needed in order that just that the guy shouldn't deny it, because the gemara kiddushin says eidim are only there to prevent sheker, to prevent someone from lying and from denying something, but if he's moda that he was makna, then you don't need eidim at all. And the raya is Gemara b'metzia that it sounds from the brisa there that a person who's omid begoren, he's not able to be makna l'chavero matbea shebebeso. So the Gemara says, why not do a kinyan sudar? So the Gemara says, no, he doesn't have a sudar. So he said, do a kinyan agav. So the Gemara says, the goren is not his. He can't do a kinyan agav because he doesn't own the karka. So Gemara says, the whole case is about a person who's naked. He doesn't have a single cloth and he doesn't have anything to do a kinyan sudar with. So why does Gemara not answer that we're talking about a case where there are no eitim, and that's why he couldn't do it? No, Elamai says a group of Rishonim that you don't need eitim in order for the kinyan to be chal. This is the sheet of Tosas, Tosrid, Rabbi Yon, Ramban, and a whole group of Rishonim. That's a raya that you don't need a kinyan to be chal. And Tosas proves this from the Gemara Sanhedrin that Pshara could be done biyachid, even though Pshara requires kinyan. That kinyan is chal even without eidim. Eidim are just there to prove that a kinyan happened. However, the Ravid is quoted in the Rashba and in the Shittim Gebetzas, and it tells Rid quotes from Rabbi Yitzchak, who are cholik on those Rishonim, and they say that kinyan b'fnei shnayim means that the ma'isa kinyan only works b'fnei shnei eidim, even if the guy was modeh. It is not a valid ma'isa kinyan unless it's done b'fnei shnei eidim. And he says there's a difference between types of kinyanim. When it comes to a kinyan sudar, since there's no actual transaction, there's nothing that's actually changing hands, that's why you need the kinyan in order to make the that's why you need the eidim rather in order to make the kinyan chal. But if you have chalipin that's shava b'shava, you're giving something, you're doing kinyan agbah, that kind of thing, of course then you don't need eidim. Meaning when you go to the supermarket to buy your groceries, you don't need to say, quick, two people come over and watch the transaction that I'm actually being kona. No, that's an actual real transaction, so that you don't need Edom. The whole svara for the Raivi that you need Edom is because Kinyan Suda looks like magic. Pick up this pen, now you're the owner of that car. What? What does a pen have to do with that? And I'm giving the pen right back to you. So what was that all about? The whole thing looks like a joke. So the only way to show that it's actually serious, that it actually means something, is by having Shnei Edom. That is the Shita of the Raivid. Okay, says the Gemara further now. Amar Rava, Ikashali Hakashali. Rava says, you know, I heard all of these different halachas from Rav Nachman, and they all make sense except for one of them. Hai kinyan heichidami. What exactly is this kinyan that we're talking about? Meaning we said the kinyan should be done in front of two edim, only you only need two people, so Sanamaisa Bezdin apparently, and they don't need to be instructed to write, they could write it down no matter what. Well, Ika Maisa Bezdin dummy, if it's like a Maisa Bezdin, and that's why they don't need to be instructed to write it, normally if it's to be Mechayiv, the person who told you to do it, then you're not allowed to write it down without his permission. It's not Zach Ladim Shlobafanov. So the Matna is losing over here. So it's to be Mechayiv him. So it sounds like that's a Maisa Bezdin, that's being something that's forced on him, that he's not volunteering. Well, Ika Maisa Bezdin dummy, Libay Tlasa, then you should need three people. And Iloka Maisa Bezdin dummy, Amayin Osarach Lamuksovu. If it's not a Maisa Bezdin, then why don't you have to tell him to write it down? Rashbam points out in Dibra Maskal Amarava, a few lines in, Va'af Ede Kinyin Ali De Edusan Sharon, Bekinyin Yotze Momunze, Beshasa Kinyin, Miyada Makna, Liyada Kona. This Edus is going to take money from the Makna to the Kona. Umishim to dummy, the Maisa Bezdin, Kamram Nachman, Ain Sarach Lamuksovu. Alma Avagav the Chovu, the Makna, Lichtov Star, Liapos, the Chuso Shalkona. Even though this is working against the Makna, for the Kona, Afiluachi Kosumedim Blarushuso, Kidin Kol Maisa Bezdin. We're writing it like it's a Maisa Bezdin against him, to work against him. But if it were not a Maisa Bezdin, then, and that's why you only need Shnei Edim, well then why are they allowed to write it against his will? So says Gemara Basa Dabai, Hadar Pashta. Even though Rava was bothered by this initially, Rava ultimately answered this question himself. Liolam Lav Kamaisa Bezdin Dami. The truth is, it's not like a Maisa Bezdin. And that's why you don't need three people. Aye, but it's going against the Makna. How can you write without his permission? There's this notion that a stam kinyan is meant to be written. That is the understanding of a kinyan. If a person is making a kinyan, it's ki'ilu, he's telling you to write it down, because that's the way a kinyan works. The Rashbam explains that since he's doing a kinyan suda in front of Edim, and he doesn't do a normal, legitimate form of kinyan of hagbah, chazaka, so in a stam, he wants to be, he's in a rush to make sure this happens, which means he's doing it ba'ayin yafeh. He's doing it with the most generous spirit, so he wants them to write it down. From the Rashbam, it sounds like, yeah, that's if it's a kinyan suda that's done without any tircha, where he's just trying to get it done. So then there's a svar that the makna wants to do it ba'ayin yafeh, and Tosfos also stam kinyan l'ksiva omid is only by a kinyan sudar. It's not true of other kinyanim. Tosfos Yishanim says that there are those that are mechalik, that the klal of stam kinyan l'ksiva omid is only by a kinyan on a matana, because that's where there's no shibud. But when the baal is makna to the isha tosefes ksuba, where it creates a shibud nechasim, well then maybe he would not be maskim to just write it down. Meaning it really depends what he's being makna. The maskana of the Tosfos Yishanim though is by all types of kinyanim, we say that stam kinyan l'ksiva omid. So that's some of the explanation behind it, where may have some nafkaminas la halacha. Okay, says the Gemara, Rabbi Rav Yosef Dami Tarvayu, Lokas Vina Moda'a Ela Mandala Tzayis Ledina. Now we're going to focus a little bit on this notion of Moda'a. It's a very intriguing idea that you're going to make a kinyan with a shtar and everything and the whole business, but because beforehand you pulled a couple of people aside and you said, I'm not really serious about this, I don't want this to work, so then it can invalidate the entire thing, Meirosh. So who can you write a Moda'a against? So Rabbi and Rav Yosef say, only against someone who you know wouldn't listen to a Beis Din. So you have no choice but to do a Moda'a in advance. You can't bring him to Beis Din and say, this guy is trying to force me to do something because he's not going to listen to the Beis Din. Abaye Rava Damit Tavayu, Afilu Alai Va'alecha. Abaye and Rava say, me and you, someone can write a Moda against people like me and you, and we are known as people who do listen to Beis Din, which is a chiddush. Sometimes, you think great rabbis have their own ego, and that they I have to listen to that Beis Din. You know who I am? No, but Abaye and Rava were very humble people, and they would listen to the Beis Din as well. So even on people like me and you, a Moda could be written. Amin Ardai, Kol Moda'a, Delok Sivva, Ananya Dinanbe, Ba'unsa Deplanya, Lav Moda'ahi. Any Moda'a that doesn't say explicitly that we know exactly what the onus is, we're familiar with the onus that this guy is being put through, well then it's not a Moda'a. To just say that someone told us that he's not interested in having the Kenyan work, not good enough. It has to say that we're familiar with exactly what the situation is. There's Machlokes Rishonim, what the Chiddush of the Nardai is over here. The Rashbam writes that the Edim are allowed to write to the Mocher Moda'a only if they know about the onus firsthand. But when they don't know about it firsthand, it's just they're relying on the hearsay of the Mocher, that he's saying, oh, this guy's forcing me into this transaction, they're not allowed to write the Moda'a. That's the Chiddush. Not just that we were given details, but that we know firsthand what the details are. And we're not just trusting the Mocher about this. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says, then what's the chiddush of the Nardai? It's a davar pashut that the mocher can't be mevatel mechira just by saying that he's an ones, because then he could, the whole idea of a mechira will be batel. Everyone could just who needs money will just be able to go in advance and be trusted to make a moda. It can't be. Meaning, obviously, the people who are writing the moda have to have some knowledge of the onus of the case, some first-hand knowledge. So that's what Ramban says. Nardai means something else. That they don't write a moda unless they know that the guy sold his nechassim because he was being forced into it. It's not enough that they saw that someone was being ma'anis him, and then they saw that he was mocher his nechassim. They have to see causation. They have to know for sure that the mechira itself was mitoch that ones. Meaning they could know that someone was pressuring him, and then they could know that there was a mechira, but unless they know that that mechira was a direct result of that pressure, then they're not able to write a moda'a. That's the chiddush of Rav Nachman. Says Gemara, moda'a demai. What kind of moda'a are we talking about? What type of transaction is the person trying to cancel in advance? Idigita udematanta gilui milsabialmihi. If it's a moda'a on a get, or a moda'a on a shtarmatana, so then all you need is a gilui milsa. Vidizvini, amaravalokasvini moda'azvini. And if it's on a sale, you're not allowed to write a moda'a on a sale. Why not? Why does Rava hold you not allowed to write a moda'a on a sale? So Rashbam explains, nearly time the Rava Mishum Darmin Lakaman Bapirkin, Hilchsa Tulyuav Zavin, Zvine Zvini. The halacha is that if someone forces you into a sale and you go through with it, it's a valid transaction. That's only though if they force you to sell. Someone comes over to you and says to you, sell me one of your properties, but they don't identify which property they want you to sell them, but they're forcing you to sell a property, but you're choosing which one, that's when it's a valid sale. That's why we don't write a moda'a. Because if it was identified which property, so then you don't need a moda. The whole thing is invalid anyway. Eliyavi edim shan suhu v'ti batal shtar mechira beloshem moda. Just bring edim that he was ma'anis you, and then you won't. You could be batal shtar mechira anyway. V'ibesod estam hazvin izvini ve'ein onus bezeh asada shay midaite birer u'machar zeh asada. And if you got to choose which field, well then you shouldn't be doing a moda, because that's really called by your own will. And then any such moda would be possible. The moda below onus, lav klubu. Moda only works when there's really an onus. So, but if you hold like Rav Huna that told you of a zavin, then you see that he's machshir moda on a sale because he doesn't hold of Rava. So anyway, so the Gemara Gemara asks, what kind of modah are we doing over here? If it's a modah on a get or a matana, you don't need a modah, you just need a gilui milsa, that a lot of people might know that the person was ma'anis, since he's not mekabel mamon for a matana, so that all you need is gilui milsa. And if it's a sale, Rava says you don't write a modah on a sale. Says Mar Liolam Dizvini, it's a modah on a sale. Modi Rava hecha da anis ukamaisa de pardesa. And Rava's modah, that in a case where someone is forcing you into it, that a modah is needed and is effective just like the maisa of the pardes. What's the maisa of the pardes? The ugavra, the mashkin pardesa lechavre letlashnin. It didn't look like an onus. What happened was you gave him the land willingly as a mashkon for 3 years. So you gave it to him as a mashkon for 3 years. Basa dach letlashni, the person who had the mashkon for those 3 years realizes he just got himself some serious leverage because he's had this land for 3 years and no macha'a was ever made. So what he does is the basa dach letlashni tashnei chazaka Amar, he goes over to the person who owns the land and he says, look, imazavnitli mutav. If you want to sell the land to me, I'm happy to pay you for it. But vilo kavishna l'shtar mashkanta v'aminu l'kuchi biyadi. But if you don't sell the land to me, I'm just going to take the shtar that says that it was a mashkon, I'm going to put it in my pocket, and I'm going to claim that I bought this land. So ki agavna kasfina moda'a. That's a case where you write a moda'a. It's not stam where you're being forced into selling something, because if that were the case, then you would just never give it over. And if you're giving it over in a forced way, then the edim who see it would be able to be made. You wouldn't need a special moda'a in advance. But over here, no. He already took possession of it, and he already has all the proof he needs that he owns it. So now he's saying, do a mechira properly, do a regular mechira, or I'll claim to already be the owner. That's a case where only a moda'a is really going to be able to help a person. Am Rav Yehuda, hai matanta tamirta lo magvinba. So now we shift into a different discussion, a discussion of a matanta tamirta. Matanta tamirta is a shtar matana that is being written in secret. The Gemara is going to define what exactly. So you're not allowed to collect with a matanta tamirta, meaning it is not a valid shtar matana. Say echidam matanta tamirta. What exactly is a matanta tamirta? Am Rav Yosef damalu l'sadi zilu atmuru uksuvulei v'kasvulei. You tell the Edim, yes, I want you to write a shtar matana, but I want you to do it in secret. I don't want anyone to know about this shtar matana that you're writing. So that's the case of matanta tamirta. V'ikada amri amr Rav Yosef the law amr luhu tasteful b'shuka ubrisa v'tichtavu lei. That some say that no, that the matanta tamirta is not where you specifically instructed, I want you to go in secret and write the matana, but you never told them to do it publicly. If you never instructed them to write the shtar publicly, that's matanta tamirta. My benayu, what's enough to mean between them? Well, obviously, you could benayu stama. What if you didn't give any instructions about how privately or publicly the shtar should be written? So according to the first way of understanding it, it's not a matanta tamirta. According to the second way of understanding it, it is a matanta tamirta. According to the second lashon, it's possible because you never said that they should go sit in the shuk. So Tosfos raises the question: what's the Gemara's question? My benayu, meaning this is kind of pashut. You know, it's kind of obvious that the first one we defined matanta tamirta as specifically instructed to do so quietly, and the second one we defined it as not instructed to do so publicly. So Rabbeinu Yonah suggests to answer Tosfos kasha that there is a havamina that even according to the first lashon, if you didn't tell them to go bachutz and to write it publicly, your intention was that it should be written as a secret matana, and the matana should be batel. So that's what the Gemara says, nafkamina, according to the Lashon Rishon, if you didn't say to the Edom Beferish to do it quietly, it's not a matanta tamirta. The Ramban and the Ran, whoever says that the nafkamina between the Lashonos by Stam is a Pashur nafkamina, the Gemara says nafkamina just to explain the din of Stam in the Hemshech of the Sugya, meaning we're not saying a Chiddush in this line, Iga B'nai Stama, we're just setting up the rest of the Gemara. So let's see that rest of the Gemara. Amar Rava, Vavya Moda'a L'Chaverta. A matanta tamirta is not going to be a valid matana, so if Reuven writes a matanta tamirta that he's giving matana to Shimon, Shimon can't claim ownership of the land, but if Reuven the next day writes a shtar matana to Levi, so the matanta tamirta can be enough to say it doesn't belong to Levi either. That this is a macha'a it's a moda'a on the transaction that he's going to do with Levi. Amar Rav Papa, had the Rav Alav Beferish Itmar Ela Michlala Itmar. Rav never actually said that Beferish, but from a story we realize that that's what he holds. That who gavra Arba Dazal Kedusha Yitzah. A guy went to be Makadish a woman. Armaleik, Saftali Kula Nichsech Havinalach, Vila La Havinalach. She says, I'm kind of high maintenance. If you're willing to give me all of your money and write a Shtar Matan of all of your money to me, then I'll be willing to get married to you. Otherwise, I won't. But he really wanted her to marry him. So Azal Kasvila Lakula Nichsi. So he wrote all of his Nechasim over to her in a Shtar. Us a break shisha, but before he did that, his older son said to him, "Dad, are you nuts? What are you doing? You're writing all of your what about my Yerusha? What's going to be with your children?" So So he told witnesses, "Why don't you go into a secret location in Avar Yamina and write all my nechasim to my son before I write it over to my wife?" They came to Rava. Amalu lo markana v'lo markana. Rava said, neither the son nor the wife is the owner of all the nechasim. Man dechaza savr mishum davi modah lechaverta. So we assumed it's because the writing to the son was a modah that he doesn't really mean to give it to the wife. But velohi, that's not what Rava's logic was. Hasa mucha milchsa demachmas onsehu dechasavla. Aval hacha mar nichalei delikni mar lo nichalei delikni. In that case, it was obvious that he was being forced into the deal. But sometimes, when you're giving a matana, you'd rather give it to one person over the other person. So maybe the one you wanted to do secretly because you weren't really interested in giving it to that person. So matana to tamirta is absolutely worthless. Ibayilu stam amai. What do we in fact paskin in the case of stam? Ravina amar lo cheshinan. Ravashi amar cheshinan. Vilchsa cheshinan. Ravina says we're not choshesh that for matana to tamirta. Ravashi says we are, and the halach is that we are in fact cheshinan, that you can't collect with it. So you have to write in the shtar that he told us to write it publicly. That's part of the lashon of the shtar, that they have to be instructed to write it publicly. Tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah.